Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their trouble.
Let's take a moment to reflect on that psalm together. In fact, if you'd like to, I'd encourage you to grab the Bible that's there behind you in your seats and open to Psalm 25. It's on page 534 in that book that's just right there behind you. So I'm guessing whether you're younger or older here today that you probably have a day that stands out to you in your memory. Everyone have a day that kind of stands out to you in your memory. It could be one of really big historical importance. Could have been maybe a birthday from when you were a child, or the day you got married, or the day you decided to pursue sobriety. There's probably a day that stands out to you. Maybe it was the day of your baptism, right? Katie, I'm hoping that this day is a day that you remember. For me, I'm sure there's a lot of memorable days, but one was when my parents had my baby brother. He was born, and of course I was only four, and I wanted to name him Baby Jesus, of course. And I did not understand why my parents did not want to have a baby Jesus in the family. I thought that is the best name that you could have. So that was mine. But we also probably most of us have embarrassing moments as well. Memories that we'd love to forget, but we also can't help but remember. Do you remember your most embarrassing moment or day that's somehow unforgettable, right? So we're not going to share most embarrassing moments here this afternoon, but most likely, even as I say that, your mind is sort of reliving that moment of terror. You know, your hands go cold or your heart's beating a little bit faster. And why is it that we can't forget our most embarrassing or worst moments or troubled times as well as we can remember the good times? This is what's interesting about this particular psalm, isn't it? That right in the middle of it, there's something really fun to it. Let me tell you how this is structured, though. This is a really fun psalm because it's one that Katie chose for her baptism, for her day. And so Psalm 25, this is written as an alphabetical poem. So the writer decided to take the Hebrew alphabet and write every line of it, starting with, you know, the first letter and then the second letter all the way through. Have you ever done that? Maybe in a letter to someone, or you take their name and you kind of write, you use the whole alphabet. And of course, if you've ever tried that, it's great at the beginning because it's kind of easy, but then you get down to like, you know, xylophones are really beautiful instruments, and, or maybe zebras. Zebras are to the display of your glory. Like you're trying to work with the whole alphabet. But as the writer here wrote it, he was trying to remind himself of something important. What is it that's important? He writes, and it's like he's not writing it down to remember it later. He's writing it down to remember it now. This is what's really important. Do you ever do that? You write stuff down, not to remember it later, but to remember it now. He's writing about who God is, about who we are, and about how we respond to who we see God is. So right at the heart of it, did you catch this? Right in the middle of this poem that David writes is this amazing, stunning prayer. He says this, verse 6, "Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old." He's saying, God, I want you to remember what you're like. And then the very next line, "Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." He's saying, God, please try to forget what I'm like. Do you see that? It's amazing. And the very next part of verse 7 is, "According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good." In fact, God, try and remember me like you remember yourself. That's what he's saying. When you think of me, God, remember what you're like. Not my most embarrassing or my worst moment. I mean, how shocking is that? That is amazing. That's the message of this poem. What God is like in contrast to what we're like. So what is God like? This is written all through this poetry. Let's just look at it really quickly. God, you are my Savior, it says in verse 5. Follow along with me. I'm just going to jump to different phrases all through. I'll give you the numbers and the phrases. God, you're my Savior. Verse 7, Lord, you are good. Verse 8, good and upright. Verse 10, all of God's ways are loving and faithful. And it's not just what God's like, but what God does. He instructs, verse 8. He guides and he teaches, verse 9. Verse 11, he forgives, he confides. I love this particular word here because it means friendship. It's like he confides like a friend. It's personal and it's real. Verse 14, he makes his covenant known. So that's what God is like. And then look at what we're like. Also right here in the poetry of it, verse 2 and 3, without God, we're ashamed. That word means overwhelmed. God, don't let me be overwhelmed with my shame. Verse 7, we're sinning for as long as we've been alive. We've been rebellious in all of our ways. Verse 16, maybe this is you today. The writer says, I'm lonely and afflicted. How many of you woke up this morning just feeling lonely or afflicted? Verse 17, my heart is troubled and I'm anguished. I'm afflicted and distressed. It's like we're reading someone's diary here. Maybe it's like yours. Verse 19, I've got countless enemies. You know, I've got more than 99 problems. How many enemies? I can't even count them. And here's what faith looks like. In the context of this poem, faith looks like this. I put my trust in you. The very first line, I put my trust in you, God. Later it says, I take refuge in you. The very next line, I hope in you. Well, that means waiting with expectation. God, I put my hope in you. Verse 4, show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me. And so faith looks like verse 15. Look all the way down to 15. My eyes are ever on the Lord. That's what it's like. I keep my eyes fixed on the Lord, for only he can get me out of this trap that I've gotten myself into. And while our eyes are on the Lord, here's what we can ask of him. So do you like this moment where you can look at the Lord and say, my eyes are fixed on you, and here's what I ask of you as a result. Verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me. Verse 18, look at what I'm dealing with and take away all of my sins. Verse 20, guard my life and rescue me. So how is it that the psalmist can write, God, don't remember me this way. Instead, remember me like this. Do you remember that back in verse 6? We just looked at it a minute ago. God, remember your great mercy and your love, for they're as of old. And verse 7, don't remember my sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. How is it that we can ask that? And how outrageous is it that we can say, God, according to your love, remember me, for Lord, you are good. So not in spite of the bad stuff I've done or even because of the good stuff I've done, but Lord, remember me according to your love, according to what you're like, God, because you are good. How amazing is that? Verse 11 says, for the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it's great. So my reading of this poem here is something like this. God, I'm putting everything your way. That's what it means to put my trust in. I put my trust in you, Lord. I put my whole trust, my whole life in you. One way to translate is I'm lifting up my soul to you, God. I lift up my soul to you. I fix my heart on you. That's another way to read this. And so I won't be overwhelmed or ashamed about my past or outdone by the hard things that are coming against me. That's the promise and the truth of this poem. It's amazing. How is it that that is even possible? What kind of a request can we put in that gets noticed like this? If that's what God's like, and this is what we're like, how can we dare ask God to forget all the bad stuff and to remember his goodness instead? It's really only possible because of Jesus, the Son of God. Followers of Jesus, gathered here today, believe that he was sent to show us the way to God. And not just to show us the way to God, but to be the way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you've seen him. That's what Jesus says. See, friends, Jesus lived a blameless life. He was sent by God to show us the way to the Father, and yet he suffered a false trial and died a humiliating criminal death, a death that he didn't deserve. But in that death, he took on all of the sinful and rebellious ways of our youth, yours and mine. He took it upon himself, though he didn't deserve it. He did it because of the greatness of his Father's love. Jesus followers know that the story didn't just end there on the cross where Jesus died, because 3 days later, Jesus defeated death and robbed the grave of its victory and came back to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Why did he do all of that? So that we could pray, just as the psalmist writes, remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Don't remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. It's like saying, Lord, don't remember my worst day or even my best day, but instead look on your goodness and remember your best day, the work accomplished by Jesus on the cross. So how do we respond? Well, we can respond to that truth by praying the way that David writes in this amazing alphabet poem. He writes in verse 16 to 19, turn to me, God, and be gracious to me. For I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all of my sins. In verse 20, it says, guard my life and rescue me, for I take refuge in you. And I love the fact that at the very end, verse 22, that the line isn't just for the person who's writing it, but it's for all of us. You know, he says, redeem Israel for your name's sake. Not just be the writer, but for all of us gathered here together. Lord, remember your goodness. So this week, let me encourage you, if you're a Jesus follower, I want to encourage you to read through this psalm again. Just pick up Psalm 25 at some point and read it through at least once. And I want you to do two things. One is, pray it for Katie. Pray it this week for Katie. And if you don't know how to do it, just pray the words and think of Katie as she steps into this life. And then I also want you to remember your own faith and remind yourself of the truths of the psalm about who God is and about who we are. Remind yourself of who you are. You might want to read this especially at a point in your week when you feel overwhelmed, or maybe ashamed, or maybe outnumbered by the things coming at you. You might want to read a psalm like this in a moment where you feel lonely or afflicted or in need of guidance or in need of forgiveness. And then I encourage you to find ways to live this out, to reaffirm your trust and to hope again in God, and to wait and hope on him with prayerful expectation. That's the wording of what's happening here in this poem. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, or you're just not sure, perhaps there's something that you've heard or seen today, in the afternoon or in this gathering or in the very truths of what we're looking at here, that just sounds true and right to you. Maybe you have a sense in your heart that you are ready to put your trust in a God who forgives and who does not remember the sins of your youth. And this is a great prayer to pray. It's right here in the psalm. It says, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. That's what faith is. That's what the journey of faith is. And that's what we celebrate when we gather together. It's also what we're celebrating today as Katie gets baptized. A young person in our fellowship who's put her trust in a living God. Not because of her goodness or her worst day or most forgettable memory, but because of God's goodness and faithfulness because of his son, Jesus. So let me pray for us and then we'll move to that part. Lord, guard our lives and rescue us. Don't let us be put to shame, for we take refuge in you. Our hope is in you, Lord. We place our trust in you again today. We lift up our souls to you. We fix our hearts on you again, for you are merciful and you're good. Lord, I pray that you would move in your spirit, even now, move with your spirit on us, to speak the truths again of who you are and the certainty that we have in faith because of who you are, the promises that are true in your word, that are made true in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.